The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the Punt Podcast with Dave Callan, Lee Phelps and Derek McGovern. Ready to look ahead to this weekend's Premier League action. 10 games in total to get stuck
Hello,
into
everyone.
From a betting
Hello.
Point of view.
I just thought I'd get the pleasantries in early this time. Forget.
I was just about to do that.
Sorry, right.
First of all, a good afternoon to you, Mr. Lee Phelps.
Hello.
Good afternoon, Derek.
Good afternoon.
There,
how
done.
Are you?
Done and dusted. I'm very well, thank you. How are you, sir?
Excellent.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. I want to start with. I know we don't usually. We usually do the naps at the end, the nap treble at the end. We got to start with the nap treble because I thought, Derek, that we'd landed last weekend because.
So did I?
Yeah, I had Stoke. You had Manchester United, and Lee had been texting me all weekend to say that he'd had an over 2.5 goals bet in the Villa match.
Well, do you know what? I must fess up here. I honestly thought I had, because I got into a bit of a debate with you both, and because I was proved right so comprehensively on that bet, I presumed I must have gone for that as my bet of the week, just to show you two that I know more than you both. As it happened, I didn't go for that at all. I went for the QPR game, and it was under, so I let the...
Wasn't it the whole game that we were at?
No, Villa-Leicester.
Was it? Are you sure?
Yeah, because yeah. I was saying...
I can't believe a word that he says anymore, Derek.
It was the team who'd scored least against the team, you know, blah, 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 all that.
You
rubbish.
Make it up as you go along, Phil.
He does.
I've got a great teacher.
Learn from the master. Let's get stuck into this weekend. Hopefully we'll have a... It was so close for a 20-odd to one.
One goal away in the
week.
End.
Yeah. We knocked on the door. We knocked on the door a couple of weeks now, so we'll
at least mine
we'll
wasn't the shortest
week.
Price of the three.
Yeah, if only. Arsenal Newcastle to kick things off this weekend. 5:30 p.m. kickoff on Saturday, and Arsenal are 4-9 to win the game. The draw 100-30. Newcastle 6-1. Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win is the headline offer here. 7-4 Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win. These two teams, Lee, locked together in the league on 23 points in the table. It's 6th versus 7th. Arsenal's superb midweek in that meaningless match in the Champions League. Ramsey's goal was obviously incredible. However, bullied again last weekend against Stoke and lost that game 3-2, and that flattered Arsenal last weekend as well.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, they could have been 4 down quite easily, couldn't they? Which was a remarkable scoreline. It was pretty remarkable being 3 down. To be perfectly honest, just defensively, so weak again. I don't know how much you can read into that Galatasaray game. I mean, the people who know about these things say they've probably been them and Bate have probably been the worst two teams in Europe this season. Just hapless at times. The problem I've got here is that Newcastle have been away to one of the top teams and done a job on them. I know it was only the League Cup, but Newcastle went to Manchester City and shut up shop and ended up coming away with a 2-0 win. Now, so they've got the blueprint of how to do that, and how they did it, you know, is obviously very good defending, and just making sure they were solid with a couple of wingers who they could get out. That night in particular, Gabriel Obertan and Rolando Ahrens, the young lad, were the wingers, and they exploited the gaps that Man City left behind them. So, you know, they've also obviously just beaten Chelsea, so they've got some confidence. The one big miss is Moussa Sissoko. He's banned, and he has been the guy who has not only broken up play but also developed attacks for Newcastle. So I think that could be a struggle for them. I think Arsenal will probably get this done in the end. I mean, they've only lost once in 15 to Newcastle. They usually beat them. But I don't think it's going to be easy, and I can't have the price of Arsenal at all. I can't trust them. You know, they're just not the sort of team to trust. So what I'm going to do is base this round a goal stat. Newcastle are the only team in the Premier League not to score within the first half an hour of a game. In fact, the earliest goal they've scored in the Premier League is 37 minutes. They'll go away. I think they'll shut up shop and try and, you know, get away with a 0-0 draw if they can. Now, Arsenal, this might surprise people, of their 12 home games in the Premier League, only two have come in the first half. One of them was actually on the stroke of half-time as well. So, you know, I think it could be a pretty measly first half with Newcastle trying to stop Arsenal playing and Arsenal not able to break them down. But eventually Arsenal getting the job done. So half-time draw, full-time, Arsenal would be one way to play it. I'm just going to go for a pretty boring second half highest scoring at 23-20 just because I can't even trust Arsenal to win the game. You know, it's maybe the half-time draw is the way to play it. Then you have to worry about what happens at full-time.
Draw half-time, Arsenal full-time is 16-5. You mentioned Sissoko's out. Stephen Taylor's suspended as well. Which
19 injuries and suspensions between the two clubs going into this.
That's big as well because if Stephen Taylor's out, they might, Derek, have to play Mike Williamson at centre-half. And for my money, he's one of the worst centre-halves in the Premier League, Williamson.
Well, he didn't do much wrong, did they, last week against Chelsea? I didn't give them a prayer, but they were absolutely fantastic, weren't they, Newcastle? And these are the same odds. This match is the same odds as the game higher up the programme, Leicester v Man City. In other words, Man City the same odds to beat Leicester as Arsenal are to beat Newcastle. I know which one I'd rather be on, and it ain't Arsenal. 4-9 is way too short. They've got Callum Chambers, Nacho Monreal, and Lauren Koscielny on the doubtful list. That's obviously great news for Newcastle.
Is that form or a quality? Injury?
Well, I was just about to say there are no injury concerns over Per Mertesacker, so that's further great news for Newcastle. Did you see? I mean, it was a great character assassination on Sky about Arsenal by Jamie Carragher, and he blasted Mertesacker. He was basically a captain who abandoned ship. And he was right. He was spot on. I mean, I've been saying this. Ron Atkinson said it all last season as well. I can't understand how the guy ever gets a game for any team, never mind his national side. One thing Carragher failed to pick up on, I'm getting a bit technical here, but did you see the Walters goal at the far post from a corner, I think it was?
Yeah.
And all he did is the old trick that used to be patented by Steve Coppell a long time ago. I used to score about half a dozen goals a season doing exactly the same thing. You go to the far post when you're attacking a corner and stand on the defender who's standing on the post, you know, the left back, say, on the far post. Now, if they don't put another man on you, once that corner comes over, you just move away from the post. But the guy on the post can't come and mark you, so you're unmarked. Now, that is criminal defending from Arsenal. That's a trick that was tried about 20 years ago and for the season where it worked wonders. But no team allows that to happen now. Arsenal did. So all the other sins that Carragher rightly pointed out, that was the worst one. And that's why you can never back Arsenal, particularly against a Newcastle side that's flying. I'm almost tempted to go for the away win here because I just can't have Arsenal. I know they tucked into Turkey early in the midweek and Ramsey's goal was all the trimmings, wasn't it? A fantastic goal. But I don't read anything into that one. I agree with Lee. I think goals are going to be at a premium here. And I'm going to go for under 1.5 goals at 100-30. I think that's a big price there. This is basically a top-of-the-table clash, you know. Mm. And it's fifth and sixth or something like that. 100-30, I think that's a big price.
The other thing worth bearing in mind is obviously they're playing Saturday after the midweek game. This is the first home game that Arsenal have had coming back from Europe this season. Been away for every single weekend match after a Champions League match. So that might play into the hands a little bit, but there's just nothing to get excited about with that Arsenal price, is there?
No, at all.
Speaking of Sky Sports, Sunday 1:30 p.m. the Red Lion versus the Dog and Duck. Manchester United 5-6, the draw 13-5, Liverpool in the market at 16-5. I know you napped Manchester United on Monday, Derek, but how bad were they?
Oh, my God. You know,
you should give that money back, to be fair.
Yeah, you should.
So if we'd have got that treble back, that treble, if you hadn't have messed up, Lee, I'd have given me money back.
Do you know what? I didn't want to land it because I could foresee what was going to happen. I didn't want you to have to crow about landing a Man United bet when they played arguably the worst they've played in about 20 years.
I mean, they had three shots in the match. That's the lowest total they've ever recorded since Opta started compiling the statistics. It was
unbelievable.
It was unbelievable.
Well, that's the thing, you see. I don't know which side is playing worse out of these two, the Dog and Duck or the Red Lion.
Quote from Neville, by the way. Wasn't it brilliant when he came out with that? It was just superb.
It was fantastic.
You know, I know it's been blown out of all proportion, but you know, I watched it live and he did it with his tongue firmly in his cheek and he knew what he was doing. But so good, such a good line. He gets better and better, doesn't he, old Gary Neville?
He was excellent in that. The only difference in this game is there's more chance of dog on the pitch in this one. I wouldn't trust Simon Mignolet to keep all of the valuables back either.
Oh, dear.
They've been absolutely atrocious, both sides. And, you know, basically, do you want to, you know, after watching that, I can't believe how bad United were. You know, I'm not surprised how bad Liverpool are because they've been like that all season long. But I haven't watched United often enough this season just to realise what kind of troubles that manager's got there, Van Plaat face. They're absolutely appalling. So there's no logic to me going for Liverpool here. The only logic is that they're a big price and Man United are odds on, you know, or thereabouts. I mean, because this game could end up any score, couldn't it? Any team could win this. And Liverpool are just over 3-1. And Liverpool owe it to their fans after what happened in midweek. I mean, you know. And you know, these are two big games for Liverpool, this one, and they've got Bournemouth in the Capital One Cup next week, basically their only chance of winning anything. Mm. You know, if they lose those two, Rodgers could well be on his bike. I mean, he's becoming as incomprehensible as Ted Rodgers in 3-2-1 at the moment. I'm going to go for Liverpool here, only because the 16-5 and Man United are odds on, and no one who witnessed Man United on Monday could possibly entertain having a bet on them at odds on.
At Liverpool 16-5 for Derek then. I suppose you can look at it two ways, Lee. Brilliant to be winning games playing so badly, or someone's going to give them a hiding very soon. It's probably not going to be Liverpool,
no.
In all fairness, on Sunday afternoon. And you talked about injuries with Arsenal Newcastle. 43 injuries since Louis van Gaal took over. Many of them have been injuries.
That's just Robert Van Persie, isn't
it? I'm going to say many of them have been injuries that have reoccurred, and he's one of them. What's he doing to the players in training, Lee?
He claims that he never actually had injuries before, didn't he? So what has all his bad luck just come at once?
It can't be. It can't be coincidence, can it?
I don't know. Who knows? I mean, it's just, you know, if we knew the answer to that, then, you know, Arsenal wouldn't be, you know, probably would have won titles in the past, you know, few years, because the injuries cost them every single season. I don't know. I just know that both these teams are badly out of form, and I think we're going to get a game that represents that. I don't think we're suddenly going to get a game that, you know, has, you know, players tearing down the wings and great intricate skill and all that. I think it's going to be a pretty dogged game. I think Liverpool will go there and shut up shop as much as they can. I think what we've seen from Liverpool is that they are trying to change slightly, and are trying to change the style of play to accommodate, you know, the weaknesses in the team. Unbeaten in five Liverpool, admittedly three draws in there. The 2-2 draw with Ludogorets, beat Stoke, beat Leicester, drew with Sunderland, drew with Basel. Man United have won five on the bounce. I mean, God, look at these games. They were lucky to beat Palace. They were lucky to beat Arsenal. They beat Hull out of sight because Hull just, you know, didn't really try a leg. Lucky to beat Stoke. Stoke had a chance to equalise and had some of the game as well. And obviously the Southampton game. Five wins out of five. How? I've got no idea.
Having said all that, Derek, Southampton didn't really threaten in that second half. I know Man United were abysmal, but they actually looked comfortable in the last 15 minutes when I thought Southampton were definitely going to get the equaliser.
Yeah, but you know, that's something I've been saying. That highlights Southampton's inability and shortcomings. Yeah. And we'll come to Southampton in a minute, because I think Burnley are 4-1 to beat them. I can't wait to get to that one. Everything Gary Lineker said the other night was true. The passing, I've never seen United pass so badly. And that guy, the right back who got taken off, I thought to myself, how is he on the pitch? He looked like a guy, a Jim will fix it guy, who's just, you know, will you fix it for me, Jim, to play for Man United? He was appalling. So, no, I can't have them. Rooney, what did Rooney look like? Oh, my God.
Mauro and Fellaini was back to his true form, wasn't he, as well?
Jesus, yeah. Well, I mentioned dog on the pitch. There we are, writ large.
Put an edit in for Jimmy Savile as well. I think this is going to be a poor game, to be fair. I think it's going to be a game where no one really wants to, you know, wants to lose the game. I think it means more to Liverpool, obviously. Under 2.5 goals at even money for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try and pick a winner. I mean, Gerrard, you know, Gerrard's hit form. He's scoring goals. He's got a great record against United. He scored two in the game that they won 3-0 at Old Trafford last season. You know, so maybe if Gerrard plays in a slightly forward role, 14-5 for him to score any time might be worth a look. But under 2.5, pretty poor game. One of the teams may just nick it.
Okay, under 2.5 goals for Lee, which is...
Even money,
and Derek going with Liverpool at 16-5. I suppose you can take a little bit of solace, Derek, in the fact that Liverpool now favourites for the Europa League.
Oh dear me!
See, the 20-1 to play Everton at some point in the tournament.
Yeah,
that's good. That's nice, isn't it?
Well, they could be in the final, couldn't they? You never know. Yeah. They avoid each other in the next round, I think. So you've still got four rounds for them to meet.
Just looking at the price for Liverpool, Derek, you know, I said I don't want to touch the result, but if you can get two of the three results against a Man United team who are by all accounts struggling at 10-11, that's not bad, is it?
Yeah, that is a big price, actually. I like your one, the under goals as well. When two teams are struggling for form, it's generally the defence they build up from, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mind you, are United capable of building up with that defence? Who knows? Tough one to call.
Yeah.
On to Sunday's live game then, 4 p.m. kickoff, Swansea versus Tottenham. Swansea 6-4, the draw 23-10, and Tottenham in the betting at 7-4. I'm looking forward to Spurs getting knocked out of the Europa League so we don't have to see them on telly every single Sunday afternoon. And I reckon, Lee, Mauricio Pochettino might not mind them getting knocked out of Europe either, because it's starting to tell. After that poor performance against Crystal Palace last weekend, he came out and said that Palace played well but were not fresh because it's our third game in 6 days. He's coming up with excuses already to try and justify their performances in the league. And they've got the... We're recording this on Thursday afternoon. They've got the trip to Turkey, to Beşiktaş, on Thursday night. And following their last two away trips in Europe, they lost to both West Brom and Stoke, both at home as well. So... Yep. This is going to be tough for Tottenham.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think excuses as much as it's just fact. You know, it's obviously hard to do that. Most teams do struggle with the Europa League because they're not used to the demands of not only on the players but also on, you know, the travel and everything else that goes with it. I think, you know, it's just fact, and it's a fact that you can easily take into your betting strategy. I mean, I've spoken to people who were at the Palace game and they said there was just nothing there. Now, to be fair to Tottenham, the better form has come away from home this season. You know, before the Chelsea 3-0 defeat, and, you know, there won't be any team who were beaten by Chelsea. They'd beaten Hull 2-1 and they'd beaten Villa 2-1 as well. The Hull 2-1 was after the away trip to was after the Europa League game, wasn't it, as well? So, you know, I don't think that they're that bad. My problem with this game on the outrights is that Swansea are favourites. I can't get my head around the fact that Swansea are favourites. I don't really rate Swansea that highly. But one man I do rate is Wilfred Bony. I think he's fantastic. Spurs were in for him, apparently, but decided against it. We're told Liverpool were in for him. You know, both of those teams would have done a lot worse than sign Wilfred Bony. And I think of all those prices, 6-4 Swansea, 7-4 Tottenham, 23-10 the draw, 11-8 Wilfred Bony is the one that I like best. So... Bony to score any time for me.
11-8, Bony to score any time. I'm surprised by Lee's comments there, Derek. I think Swansea are worthy favourites in this match.
Well, against Tottenham, yeah, the way Tottenham have been playing. But I've never called a Swansea match right, and I really don't intend to start now. I mean, 1 week, did Swansea look like Chelsea? The next they're all, let's see. I just, you know, whenever I back them, I just get the wrong result. It's Spurs, though, isn't it? I mean, I said last week, come on, they surely got to beat Palace, haven't they? And he never looked like doing it. They got the game at Beşiktaş, as you say, tonight. At least it prepares them for all the welcome to hell banners next time they play at White Hart Lane. Yeah, the fed up Tottenham fans. I ain't got a clue about this fixture. I really haven't. Draw.
Fair enough.
There could be goals. I mean, one other thing is that, you know, apart from that Chelsea game, when they drew a blank and hit the bar, Harry Kane hit the bar in that game, they've scored in every other away game in the Premier League, Tottenham, and Swansea's home scoring record has been good. Only the home game against Southampton have they failed to score at home this season. So you'd expect goals in this one. Over 3.5 is 12-5. Over 2.5 is 10-11. So, but I like my man Bony. I think I always like it if a player's been rumoured to be going to a bigger club. And for the purpose of this, I'll say Tottenham is a bigger club than Swansea. Then when they play them again that season, there's like, always going to be a little bit there, isn't there? There's always going to be a little bit of an edge.
He is part of the headline offer as well. Wilfred Bony to score and Swansea to win is 3-1. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win in the betting at 4-1. On to Monday night's live match then. 8 p.m. kickoff, Everton versus QPR. Everton 4-9, the draw 100-30, and QPR 13-2. Headline offers here, Kevin Morales to score and Everton to win is in the betting at 5-2. Bobby Zamora to score and QPR to win.
this year.
Yeah, impossible. 14-1, Zamora and QPR. And QPR without Charlie Austin here, Derek, which is huge for them.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they were good things last week. For one reason, they were playing at home. Away from home, they're the softest touches ever. I mean, the nickname is actually the Hedgehogs now, so regularly they slaughtered on the road. I mean, we touched upon it a couple of weeks ago. It was what Harry Redknapp said, and it's a bit like I've mentioned it 3 weeks running now, because it really did put things into perspective. When you're away from home in the Premier League, you're going to absorb a lot of pressure, and what you need is pace on the break. QPR ain't got any, and that's why they're not scoring away from home, they're not winning away from home. And is it going to change against Everton, particularly with Charlie Austin out? No, it ain't. I wish he hadn't seen that quote, because I might have given him a chance at 13-2 here. But it's so full of logic that I have to go for Everton. It helps Everton, of course, in action on Thursday night in the Champions League, but it was a home game. Europa League. It was a home game, and you've got an extra day to recover. They're not playing particularly brilliant now, but I've said before, I don't see any glaring weaknesses in the Everton side. OK, they're probably short of stardust, but there ain't a glaring weakness. They're a solid workmanlike side, and QPR ain't, especially away from home. The odds are the same as like the Arsenal game against Newcastle and the Man City game against Leicester. The difference here is that you've got, Everton are at home against a side right at the bottom, and they're still 4-9. I've got to go for Everton here, but because 4-9 is never my cup of tea, I'll go for Everton to win without conceding, which I think is just over the even money mark.
Everton to win the game to nil. Yeah, it's 13-10 in fact, so a good bit over even money. 13-10 Everton to win the game to nil. QPR now, Lee, lost their last 8 in all competitions away from home. They do, as Derek's made reference to, struggle on the road. And Roberto Martinez, we're recording this before that Europa League game, but likely to play some of the youngsters and Brian Oviedo and Aruna Kone back for Everton as well, which is good news for them.
Yeah, it is. Can't get away from the fact, though, that they're tired. And he's said over and over again now that they're tired. I know they've got an extra day to recover, but you've still got that fatigue. And the problem with this fixture for Everton, in my mind, is that they won't be quite as up for it against QPR as they would be if it was a slightly bigger team. QPR... The key to stop getting the end of a run is to find out when it's going to end. And I've been looking at QPR's last few away performances. Now, they were 1-1 with Chelsea. Chelsea scored in the 75th minute and won the game. They were 0-0 with Newcastle United away from home. Sissoko scored in the 78th minute and won the game. They were 0-0 at Swansea. Key scored in the 78th minute, and then Routledge added a second and won the game. They're nearly getting there. You know, they get into like the mid-70s, late 70th minutes, and almost getting the point they need to stop this rot. Now, the problem for Everton, and what Roberto Martinez has said over the last couple of weeks, and he said against Hull, he said, I hoped we'd have done enough in the first half to win the game because we're too tired in the second half.
Okay.
They're not going to get any more fitter between now and Monday. We've got a game, the Europa game on Thursday night. So I'm going to trust QPR to get this one done. This isn't my main bet, but I'm putting up 0-0 at 11-1. Under 2.5 goals, though, at 21-20 is my bet here. QPR obviously trying the best to keep it tight and getting a 0-0 draw, and I think they might just get away with it. If they can keep Everton to nil at half-time, I think it will end 0-0.
You know what, Lee? That's the first time I've ever heard an argument that's actually made me change my argument.
Thanks,
that was
Derek.
So well put. And I can't argue with a single syllable of it.
Thanks, Derek.
Back QPR now.
Without this wanting to sound like a loving, when you said 1-0, I can see the 1-0. I can see Everton getting a goal. Because QPR have been struggling to score goals on the road, haven't they? But Yeah,
interesting one.
Under 2.5 goals looks good then.
Yeah, it does.
Odds against, 21-20.
Got to be on that one. Got to be on it.
Let's look at the non-televised matches this weekend then. All these Saturday 3 p.m. Sunderland versus West Ham first. Sunderland 8-5. The draw in the market at 23-10, and West Ham 17-10.
Can you just repeat that last price, please?
West Ham 17-10.
Thanks.
You like that?
It's just ridiculous.
Sunderland's last win came against Crystal Palace. That was back in early November. Since then, they've drawn 4 and lost 1. They have had a couple of decent draws, haven't they? At home against Chelsea and away against Liverpool. Seems that they're setting up to frustrate on most occasions. Mm. Will the fans stand for that style of play at home against West Ham?
I don't think they'll do that at home against West Ham. I think they'll be fooled into actually trying to come out a little bit, or the players won't quite have the same concentration they would do if it was Liverpool or Chelsea. You know, even if they're off a little bit and they were brilliant. You know, the Chelsea, if you look at what they did against Chelsea, they were brilliant. I mean, Lee Cattermole probably had his best game under Poyet. And Poyet said, you know, he's been the most improved player. You look at the defence was great as well. They just played very well. They kept Costa under wraps. I know Derek wouldn't think that's that hard, but frustrated him. He could have been sent off, was taken off in the 75th minute in the end. I don't think they'll treat, you know, for instance, Diafra Sakho the same as they treat Costa. I don't think they'll be quite as on edge as they would be against Chelsea. And West Ham, you know, the other thing about Chelsea, by the way, they had no width against Sunderland. They should have gone wide and tried to get around the back of them. West Ham have got width. I mean, there was a stat at the weekend about how many crosses they chucked into the box and how many long balls they chucked into Andy Carroll, who had a great game.
Do you think he'll start Andy Carroll?
I don't know. I don't think it... Whether they start with Carroll and Valencia or Valencia and Sacco or Sacco and Carroll, I don't really think it matters. If I was Sam Allardyce, I'd start all three and go for Sunderland, because there's no way they can handle those three up front, which they had in the second half in the end, didn't they? You know, Sunderland are so low on all the tables. You know, they're 2 points above the relegation zone, they're 14th in the form zone, 16th in the ratings rankings, second bottom in the ratings for home teams, and they've won once at home all season. West Ham, you know, they've scored the third most goals away from home in the Premier League behind Man City and Chelsea. You know, they have so many shots on goal. They're confident. I see no reason not to take them at 17-10. I think it's... I'm amazed that they're a bigger price than Sunderland are.
Yeah.
They'll go to win the game, yeah, I think.
They shouldn't be a bigger price. I mean, the bookies are mirroring what the public think. West Ham are soon enough going to start slipping and sliding down the table. Well, they probably will, but will it come at Sunderland, that slip, that slide? I don't think it will. I agree with you. I think they're a better team in every department. That doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win.
No.
But when are the bigger price of the two teams? You've got to go for them. I mean, we'll have two managers here. I always think Gus Poyet, he prowls on the touchline like a recently escaped lunatic. And you got Allardyce, growls on the touchline like a recently woken hippo. I'll be more interested in the two managers than what's going on the pitch. It ain't going to be a classic, this game, is it? We know that for certain. But, yeah, I agree with Lee. I think West Ham are a good thing here.
Poyet's son might play as well, mighty, for West Ham, they're saying. But I don't think
he'll
start. Yeah. They signed him in the summer.
And I think the difference, Derek, with like a team like West Ham, when you compare them to Southampton, if Southampton get a couple of injuries, I think they're scuppered. Whereas West Ham, they're building quite a tidy squad there.
Yeah. Well, it's not... Yeah, they've got the two strikers. It's not a massively different squad to what they had last season. And, you know, I honestly don't know what Hippo Head's done this season. I really can't work it out.
Song and Coyote have been revelations.
And Zarate's another one as well, who's come in when the injuries have happened. They've coped with injuries pretty well, haven't they? And they say that Teddy Sheringham's coaching of Andy Carroll is actually, he's listening. And it was noticeable, he dropped off. Rather than just getting involved in all those kind of tussles in the box, he just dropped off. And when he's in that kind of form, I know you're not a massive fan, Derek, and I'm not particularly, but when he is in that kind of form, and if he plays clever, you know, and uses his height and uses his speed and his ability to get up in the air over a short distance, not many defenders can cope with that, can they?
No.
Crystal Palace versus Stoke next. Crystal Palace 6-4, the draw 11-5, Stoke in the market at 15-8. Derek, if Crystal Palace get relegated, I'm waiting for Neil Warnock to blame it all on bad luck. I'm sure it's going to happen. They're 6-4 to win this game, Crystal Palace. Stoke at a 15-8. This is the one that I don't understand this weekend.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's similar to the game we just mentioned, the Sunderland-West Ham game. Why are Palace favoured to beat Stoke? Stoke, who's just come off a fantastic result and a fantastic performance, by the way. I mean, you know, they were 3-2, flattered Arsenal big time. It should have been 4-0, shouldn't it? That fourth goal before Arsenal hit back. So imagine if Stoke had come here on the back of a 4-0 win, as it should have been. Would they have been 15-8 to beat Palace? I don't think they would have been. I'm Stoke all day long. I think they're a fantastic bet.
That Bojan Lee looks like a real player as
well. Yeah, it's taken a little while, hasn't it? And I was thinking a few weeks ago, I wonder when he's going to click. And, you know, we've seen it, haven't we? I agree with you too. Go figure. I mean, you know, Stoke have largely been, we've said they've been a better team away from home. Actually, the results don't bear that out. The early season, that the style seemed to suit when teams came onto them. It's debatable how much Crystal Palace will actually come onto them, I suppose. You know, how much ball at Crystal Palace? They might both be like, you have it. You have it. It's all right. We don't want to
possession.
Attack. You know, so the first ones to blink almost may well end up struggling. I mean, Crystal Palace's average possession is 44% at home. So, you know, that tells you what they do. So Stoke may get lulled into having the ball a bit more than they actually want it, because they'd rather play the counter-attack, as they were able to do against Arsenal. And that's my only worry with it, but I think they've got enough quality to win the game. And again, maybe the Conners, maybe the traders are just lulling us in.
Yeah.
But it just looks too big to me. I mean,
well, one thing you would say in the traders' behalf is that last week, until it got to Monday night, Man United's win, on the Saturday and Sunday, it was the first time out of a weekend, not kind of Monday game, when there hasn't been an away win in the Premier League. So we're picking two there, right at the top
exactly,
of the programme.
Yeah, true. I mean, I know I'll get called cautious Colin here, but I suppose the way to play a lot of these bigger-priced away ones would be to lump them all in a plus one. You know, so, you know, I know 15 to 8 is not going to get, but, you know, the 15 to 8 on Stoke.
It's going to be long odds on, isn't it? Plus one.
The QPR, the top, you know, not the top, we didn't really like that that much, did we? But the West Ham, you know, you can put them all in a plus one, I suppose, and maybe get three or four and put a tricks together, but you're not going to get much out of it.
No.
Stoke's average possession away is 46%. So at the moment, we're missing 10% of the ball. I don't know where that 10% is going to go. If they only have it 46% and Crystal Palace have 44.
Yeah, in the air, I like that. Bojan to score and Stoke to win, by the way. Headline offer there at 6-1 looks pretty decent as well. Leicester Man City next up. Leicester 11-2, the draw 15-4. Manchester City in the market at 4-9. Lee, Nigel Pearson's now 11-10 to be the next Premier League manager to leave, and the first this season. He could get the sack, I think, if they lose this game.
There's been a long history of promoted managers getting the sack after not being able to acclimatise to the division, I suppose. And, you know, we've said before, their owners have got money and their owners are ambitious. How long will they stand around? I don't know. I mean, I think it would be unfair to sack him after a City game. You know, they are the champions. They are flying at the moment.
They're the winless in 10 now. Since that win against Manchester United, I'm contractually obliged to mention that on every single podcast.
Yes, that's fine.
But they are winless in 10 now. They've only picked up 2 points in the process as well.
They
won't wait much longer because there's not much sign they're going to turn this around.
No, there isn't. You know, and it's hard to make an argument for them to do anything here, isn't it? But the only argument I would make is that Man City have obviously had a long and emotional trip to Rome and back. Now, it seems fairly unfair to me that they're playing at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, having played in Rome on Wednesday night. I mean, that's not particularly fair, is it?
You have the Thursday to Sunday in the Europa League, don't you?
Yeah, but not, you know, other teams get to play on, you know, don't always play at 3 o'clock Saturday. I just think it's, you know, what I'm saying is it's not much of a turnaround for Man City.
Yeah.
If there's a little bit of a hangover, I suppose. I can't make a case for Leicester to win this game, obviously. But I can make a case for them to score a couple of goals, I think. I think Man City might be quite loose here and might just go after them.
Really?
You know, they're going to allow Leicester the ball. There's no point in Leicester sitting back and defending here. They have to try and regain some of that passion and that forward play that got them the 2-2 draw with Everton, the draw with Arsenal, and the 5-3 win over Man United. Sooner or later, this run has to start to end. I'm not saying it's going to end here, but I think they might score a couple of goals. So I'm going to go for over 1.5 goals for Leicester at 3-1.
What about the reverse win cast here, Lee? Leonardo Ochoa to score and Man City to win the game 11-2.
Yeah,
I think he's mad, Derek.
Well, I can't believe that.
You couldn't believe it. Yes, last week when I said Leicester over 2.5.
You know what, Lee? You can get airplanes now. He didn't travel to Rome on the Orient Express. He'll probably over about a minute after the final.
Oh, come on, the emotion of it all. They'll be tired.
And they've won that game in Rome without Aguero, Torre or Silva. You'd expect, I know Silva came on as substitute, didn't he, in that match, but you'd expect Torre and Silva and company, they're not going to be that tired. They're going to be relatively fresh if they play.
Company might not play, mighty, but yeah.
When you get a result like that, you're itching to play again, aren't you? And it's when you're playing like Liverpool, you don't want a game to come around.
Not at Leicester, you know.
No, well, Leicester, I'm just looking at Leicester, you know, and I'm looking at all their squad, and I really don't think there's anybody there that would get a game at any other club. Seriously?
Yeah, you're probably right.
There's not a player that screams Premier League standard.
Vardy looked good for a game, didn't he?
Vardy for one game. Exactly.
What about David Nugent?
No.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, you've got Mark Albrighton, surplus to requirements at Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Matthew Upson, about 97 years old. Wes Morgan, Liam Moore. They're just not good enough, Vardy. And they're playing, arguably, one of the top five sides in Europe, you could argue. I think City, absolute certainties. It's a question of how far. I think it will be very far. And I'm going to go for City minus 2 goals at 13-5.
Wow, City minus 2 at 13-5. They'll have to win 6-2 then, Derek, if Leicester to get their both goals.
I honestly think it will be something like that. I think it'll be like 4-2 or something daft.
Okay.
I think it'll be a loosener for Man City. And they'll just go, we're going to score as many goals as we like, but you might score a couple as well. You wait.
Chelsea versus Hull then. Chelsea versus Hull. Chelsea 2-11, the draw 11-2, and Hull in the betting at 16-1. Derek Hull, third from bottom, visiting Chelsea, who come into this on the back of that loss at Newcastle last weekend, followed by the Champions League win against Sporting Lisbon midweek. I was surprised that that team that Jose Mourinho put out midweek It's pretty strong, wasn't it, for what was a meaningless match?
Yeah, it was. You know, they looked really at it, and I couldn't believe it. I thought it was a draw. It was nailed on there.
Should have listened to the midweek version of the podcast.
I should have done, shouldn't I? You should have done. I keep saying this about Hull. They should be doing better than they are doing. I mean, you look at their squad, and you compare their squad to, say, Leicester's, and it's, you know, there's a big gulp in class, and yet they're not getting the results. You can't imagine them getting the results at Chelsea. I mean, you know, poor though Chelsea were against Newcastle last week. Well, not poor, but, you know, not quite. They didn't hit their heights, normal heights. It would be impossible to make a cogent case for Hull here. This looks like another 2-0 Chelsea game, this one, all over.
Getting it
wrapped up in 40 minutes and then, you know, going on holiday in the second half. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go for under 2.5 goals, because Hull do try and keep it tight. Mm. Under 2.5 goals are 13-10.
Okay, under 2.5 for Derek. I think the man that's key is Nemanja Matic, isn't it? He missed the game against Newcastle, came back into the side against Sporting Lisbon. He's your archetypal scupperer. Sits in front of the back four and breaks up play and then sets the tanks rolling. He is the man for Chelsea.
Yeah. Everyone says he was the reason. You know, it might just be one of them days. Who knows? You know, but I mean, I agree with most of what Derek said there. You know, it's very hard to make a case for Hull, especially with the lack of goals they've been scoring. The one thing you would say about the away performances, the better ones have come against the bigger clubs. So, you know, they have no trouble getting themselves up for games. You know, I know Liverpool haven't been in great form, but they went there and got a 0-0 draw, got a 2-2 draw at Arsenal when they led until right near the end when Welbeck got that last minute equaliser. So, you know, and, you know, all right, they went to Man United and rolled over. I can't. Yeah, that's just going to have to...
I just have to look over that one.
And the 1-0 win defeat at Burnley, it's almost like they can't quite get themselves up for it. I think they'll get themselves up for it here, but I don't think they'll obviously win the game. I think they'll keep it tight, like Derek says, and I'm willing to trust them that they won't get a paste in. I'm going to go Hull plus 2 goals at 11-8.
Okay.
1-0 defeat.
Hull plus 2 then at 11-8. Moving on to West Brom versus Aston Villa, which is the Birmingham derby, and it's not televised this weekend, Lee, which is understandable.
No, we've got tellies over there, so it's all right. Hello to the Midlands.
West Brom have been less than appealing to watch recently. 16th in the league, picked up just 14 points, and it might be a battle between Nigel Pearson and Alan Irvine to see which one wins the sack race. Villa have actually won back-to-back league games now. And it's a fixture that in recent seasons has been pretty entertaining. Both teams have scored in the last four, and there's been at least 4 goals in the last 3 meetings between the two as well.
Yeah, 17 goals in the last 4 head-to-heads between the two clubs. I mean, you wouldn't really say that it would be full of goals this time if you looked at the stats, I suppose. West Brom's goals have dried up. We said it week in, week out about Cedo Berahino's goals have gone. Their records, £10 million they spent on Brown Adai from the Nigerian striker from Dinamo Kiev, hasn't scored a goal, barely played. I saw this article. Adai scores 2 in reserve match, ready for a start. He scored 2 in a 5-2 win against Northampton Town reserves. I mean, come on, if ever a headline was misleading. But so if he starts, I wouldn't be getting too hot under the collar if you've backed against the Baggies. I feel like I've kind of been across Villa's resurgence, if you like. That might be a bit strong, resurgence, but I'm a bit worried about this one, if I'm being honest. I mean, it's another one of those games where you look at the prices and you go, 11-10, West Brom.
It's crazy, isn't it?
I'm like, why? I mean, why? Yeah. So I'm duty bound, and I think maybe Nick and Derek's, you know, words here, to back Aston Villa at that price. I'm not massively confident that they're going to win the game just because it is a derby. You know, because I'm not confident that, if I could just have a bet away from that, I'd be backing Christian Benteke at 19-10 here. How he didn't score against Leicester last week, I'm not sure. Schmeichel was in inspired form. He's only scored 1 goal this season, Benteke, but he's getting better and better, and I think he'll have opportunities here if it is a bit of a goal fest. So Benteke, 19-10, any time for me. Villa does look a big price, to be fair. Mm.
What do you think, Derek?
Well, West Brom got 1 point from their last 5 matches. Benteke caused mayhem with them last season at Villa Park, that one was. And even the Baggies players have admitted that. If I saw them prices for this game, and it was 6-4, the home side, 6-4, the away, 9-4, the draw, something like that, I wouldn't have raised an eyebrow. But 13-5 Villa, who are better away from home. I keep saying that. It's just, it's must bet material.
Does look it, doesn't it? When I was reading, doing research on this, I found this great article about how apparently before the Leicester game, Paul Lambert went to Bayern Munich to watch them train and had a, you know, a bit of a chit chat with Pep Guardiola, picked up a few tips, and they did change the style against Leicester. I didn't notice this, but they say they changed the style. The possession was much higher, and they were passing it about quite a lot more. So if you see that this weekend, it might be something to worth. You know, if you're watching this game or you're unfortunate enough to be going, I'm sure it'll be a great game. But I thought it was quite interesting that it did popped over
That's
to
weird,
Germany
isn't it?
To watch. You know, just have a bit of chat with Pep.
Did Pep know he was coming, or did he just turn up at his window?
I don't know. I think he went to see Pepe Mel, but ended up with Pep Guardiola.
Last game this weekend is Burnley versus Southampton. Burnley 4-1 to win it. The draw 5-2. Southampton 3-4. Two headline offers here. Danny Ings to score and Burnley to win 7-1. Graziano Pella to score and Southampton to win in the market at 5-2. I suppose, Derek, there is a chance for Southampton to get back on the horse following those three straight defeats against Manchester City, Arsenal and Manchester United. They had a lot of possession Monday night, but as I've mentioned earlier, didn't create anything in the second half really against Manchester United, and they odds on to win at Burnley.
Madness. Absolute madness. You've saved the best till last. You know, no matter your duty bind, if you call yourself a punter, you must back Burnley at 4-1 here. I'm not saying the certainties, but no way are they 4-1 to beat a Southampton side who, come on, we know they're playing now what they have been, just an average side. If they couldn't beat Man United the way United played on Monday night, they have got real problems. And Burnley, you know, they're putting together a decent run of form. I think Burnley are more likely to score than Southampton. I watched the Saints on Monday, and I've watched them a couple of times recently. I'm thinking, how did they go so long unbeaten in the first, dozen games? I don't see anything there. I really don't. I think this is one of the bets of the season, 4-1 Burnley.
Really?
I really do. I think it's a great bet.
Burnley 4-1 for Derek, very confidently.
Yeah, I'm not as confident. I can see why he's gone for it. I understand that. But I mean, and I was right with Derek thinking that they wouldn't get a point in those three games. Totally agreed with him. And, you know, most of people were saying, oh, no. I mean, you had people on. There was, I can't remember which pundit it was. Someone on TV said that they would finish in the top four. I mean, they shouldn't be allowed to take a living. There's no way on earth that Southampton will finish in the top four of the Premier League this season, is there? I mean, that's just... I mean, I know we're saying that, but this was even during that run. It just seemed ludicrous. I do think they are better than now that they're not suddenly the worst team in the world. They played well against Man United. They should have got a draw against Arsenal. You know, not obviously, you know, Man City gave them a bit of a beating. They weren't terrible, though. Because Derek said that you have to go for 4-1, I'm going to go for +1 Burnley.
Okay.
Cautious Colin. Can't have Southampton at the price.
Strikes again.
10 games, Cautious Colin on every one of them.
Derek's right, though. I mean, the price is just, it's not right, is it, given what Southampton have been like. But I think Southampton are better than Derek's making out. Do you know what? I'll go for the draw then, 5-2.
Okay, Burnley plus a goal, by the way, is 11-10. So odds against on Burnley, all the draw in effect there at +1 at 11-10. We're going to land this Knapp treble this week.
So many bets that I like this week.
Because
killing me.
Obviously, Lee, you let us down badly last weekend. You go first, and actually remember which bet you put up this week.
So many that I like there. That's the problem. I like. The Arsenal Newcastle bet that I was talking about with the half time draw. I like the half time draw in Everton QPR under 2.5 in the match. What shall I go for? I also like I like West Ham to win at 17-10. Do you know what? I'm gonna go for Wilfred Bony to score at any time. And that was priced up at
11-8.
11-8. I'll go for that. I think Tottenham will be tired again and will concede. And Boney's obviously been in great nick this season. I'll go for that.
Derek?
Burnley 4-1.
Burnley 4-1 for Derek. I was going to go with Swansea 6-4. I think they are nailed on against the
You can have that if you are. If you haven't got
Spurs.
Another one, I'll
no,
put
I have
another
got,
one.
I have got another one. I'm going to go with Stoke.
I'd go back to the other one, mate.
To win away at Palace as mine. So I'm riding the Stoke train here. Wilfred Bony 11-8 to score any time. Burnley 4-1. to win at home against Southampton, and Stoke to win away at Crystal Palace. 33.14-1.
Oh, lovely.
It's got a chance as
apart
well.
Apart from Lee's selection, I can't see that losing.
Just take Lee's out there, and you've got a nice 13-1 double as well.
No, that's what this is coming to. That's terrible form.
Thank you for your company, Derek.
Cheers, lads.
Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Thank you.
And thanks to everyone for listening. Remember, you can download this via iTunes, and you can get us on audioboom.com as well. Just type in William Hill, and we'll be back with more Premier League action next weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.